Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for your people, and I thank you for the spirit of grace that is in this house, Lord, to speak to our hearts and lives and to change us, Lord, into what you want us to be. I pray, Father, that you help us to see, help us to set our sights higher, Lord, to understand who it is that you've called us to be, and what it is that you've called us to do. And Lord, may you be glorified in it, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, do you love the Word of God? Amen. I hope so, because I'm going to give you a lot of Scripture tonight. Somebody say, I can handle it. All right. That's pretty good. There was at least like 10. The rest of you are going to choke, I guess, but anyway, here it comes. You ready? Well, just start with something really simple. I just want you to consider, I want you to think about it. He loves us. Oh, he really does. He really loves us. He proved his love for us when he sent his son for us. 1 John 4:9 says, "In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten son into the world that we might live through him." I'm telling you, nobody should ever doubt that God loves them, because he showed it when he sent his son so that we could live, so we could have real life, not just exist, but really live. John 3:16-17, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Why did God send his son? Well, he gave his son because he so loved the world. And then verse 17 tells us he didn't send him to condemn the world, but so that we could be saved. The Father sent Jesus not to condemn, but so we could be saved. Jesus' whole life had a sense of purpose and destiny. He was on a mission, always on a mission, because he had been sent. There was a reason behind everything that he did. He knew that he wasn't here by accident, but he had been sent. He came to proclaim the good news. He came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to set the captives free. He came to heal the sick, to bring freedom to the oppressed. He knew that he was sent, and he went out and he did what he was sent to do. 35 times in the Gospel of John alone, Jesus said, "Sent me." 35 times he says that his Father sent him in the Gospel of John alone. 35 times, that's more than average, more than 2 times per chapter. Amazing. 35 times he talks about how that his Father sent him. And he did everything that his Father sent him to do. John 17:4, he said, "I have glorified you on earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do." What a wonderful thing to be able to say at the end of this life, not just for Jesus, but for all of us, to be able to say, "I've finished the work that you have given me to do." And you need to know that God has a work for you to do. There are things that you're supposed to accomplish in this life. And you might think that you are unimportant and insignificant, but I'm telling you, in the plan and purpose of God, he has a work for you to do. And we all want to be able to say that we finished the work you've given me to do. Jesus finished what he was sent to do. But I want you to understand that the ministry of Jesus is not finished. It is still going on. John 12:24, Jesus said, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He was talking about his own death and how that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. You see, Jesus has multiplied himself in you and me. Jesus' body is still in the earth. It's called the church. Amen? I just want to read it to you. It's Ephesians 1:22-23. He put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. You see, as wonderful it was for Jesus to walk this earth, he was in one place at one time. But now Jesus' body fills the whole earth. The church, his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. All around the world, Jesus' ministry is still going on. It's still taking place. Jesus has multiplied himself in his people. And I want you to understand that just as Jesus was sent by the Father, you and I have been sent by Jesus. It's John 20:21. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. Well, could that be any clearer? As the Father has sent me, I also am sending you. I mean, there's no doubt that the Father sent Jesus. He sent him on a mission with a purpose to save us because of the love of God. Sent on this mission to save us. And he says, as the Father sent me, so I'm sending you. I know what some of these religious people today would say, the people that just strip the Word of God of any power. It has no effect in their life. They would say, oh, but that was just written for Peter and John. You know, that was written for those guys. Let me tell you something. It was recorded 60 years later. It wasn't recorded for Peter and John. They were there. It was written down for Mark and Bob. And Ken, it's written down for all of you. Jesus says, as the Father sent me, so I am sending you. You see, if we really grasp that, if we really know that in our heart, that Jesus has sent us, then it changes our perspective on life. It changes the way we look at things. It changes the way we look at people. If we really believe that we've been sent. You need to know you've been sent. We need to have that mindset that we can say, he sent me. You know, people in this world are driven by all kinds of things. I mean, if you don't think they're driven, we'll just go out and watch the freeway for a few minutes. They are driven to get somewhere. They've got stuff they got to get done. I mean, driven by all kinds of things. It might be their career. It might be some level of success they're trying to achieve. It might be money that drives them. It might be pride that drives them. It might just be pleasure that drives them. But I'm telling you, people are driven by all kinds of things. And in Ecclesiastes, Solomon talks about how that he tried everything. I mean, this was a guy that had the power and the wealth that he could have anything he wanted. He accomplished everything he wanted to accomplish. And yet when it was all said and done, see, he did all kinds of great things and accomplished all kinds of things and had all kinds of things. But when it was all said and done, he said it was empty. All those other things that drive people at the end of the road, it's just empty. It's vanity. He said it was vexation of spirit. Because he got to the end of the road there, he accomplished it all, he did it all, he had it all, and it was empty. And I'm telling you that the life that Jesus offers us is a life that is full. It is overflowing. It is a life of meaning and purpose. And he says to us that if we will lose our life for his sake, then we'll find life. And I'm telling you, when we get a hold of this, that we're not just living for ourselves anymore to do what I want or just to accomplish my business, but I am sent. I'm on a mission. God has things that he wants me to do. And I'm telling you, that's when you find that meaning and purpose. That's when you find real life. Jesus was driven by a mission to accomplish the will of him who sent him. But I'm telling you, we need to know that we have been sent. We need to know why he sent us. He sent Jesus because he so loved the world. And I'm telling you that Jesus sends us because he loves the world. That's it. That's the reason. That's the reason that he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's the reason he says, go make disciples. That's the reason he says, and you shall be witnesses of me. That's the reason he says, as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. I'm telling you, Jesus loves the world. He wants us to go because he loves the world. You got to know you're sent, and you got to know why you're sent. Maybe the people you cross paths with today, tomorrow, this week, are people that God is sending you to. I know that you could take this to an extreme and you could just be weird and chase people away from God. If you want to get all weird and religious about it. But I'm talking about having a mindset that God has sent you, that God wants to use you. You're not just living out your days. You're not just making another dollar waiting to retire someday. You're here for a reason. He sent you. Just like Jesus had a mission, you have a mission. And if you're going to be sent by him, you got to know the one who sent you. Jesus said in John 7:29, I know him, for I am from him, and he sent me. Jesus knew the Father. But I'm telling you, this is how we can have the audacity to say, he sent me. Because we know him. Because we have a personal relationship with him. Our being used by him is in direct proportion to our connection with him. Jesus talked about this in John 15. Here's one of the verses, John 15 and verse 5. He says, he who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. See, if we know that we've been sent by him, we know why we've been sent. We got to know the one who's sending us. We got to have that intimate relationship with him, that we abide in him. And when we have that, we can bear much fruit. In fact, in verse 7, he says, you'll ask what you will, and it shall be done for you. I'm just telling you that you got to know the one that sent you. You got to spend time with Him. It's out of that relationship with Him that we have the ability to do anything that would bring lasting fruit. And it's out of that relationship with Him and that time with Him, abiding in Him, that we know what He wants us to do. I mean, it's one thing to know you've been sent somewhere. When you get there, you got to know what it is you're supposed to say or what it is you're supposed to do. How do you know that? Well, you've been with Jesus, and He'll let you know. He'll guide you. He'll speak to you. But the one who knows they've been sent, they don't just speak their own words. John 3:34, Jesus said, "He whom God has sent speaks the words of God." You know, most of us do a whole lot of talk, a whole lot of idle talk. Maybe God wants to speak to somebody through us. Maybe we have a timely word for somebody, a word of encouragement that'll help somebody on their way, some words of faith maybe that will cause someone to believe. I don't know about you, but I've always got an opinion. And sometimes I'm too quick to give it. But what if we just learned to speak the words of God instead of giving our opinion all the time? Do you know, most people like to talk about themselves. I caught myself doing this just this past week, talking about myself to a stranger. I was like, why am I talking about myself? But the one that knows that they're sent, they don't talk about themselves. They talk about the one who sent them. I'm telling you, we need to get a hold of this, that we've been sent. In John 12:49, I want to read this from the King James because the New King James adds an extra word in there and kind of changes the meaning. But it's this. It says, "I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, He gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak." He says, I haven't been talking about myself. I've been talking about my Father. Now I'm telling you, when we know we're sent, we're not interested in just sharing our opinion, talking about ourselves. I did this and I did that. Instead, we want to talk about the Lord and what the Lord has done and what He can do in their life. Lifting up Jesus. Anybody remember that old country song, "I Want to Talk About Me"? Oh, how true it is. Oh, how people love to talk about themselves. But when you're sent, you want to talk about Him. We are Christ's ambassadors. You know, an ambassador doesn't talk about themselves. They talk about the one they represent. You know, most people in this life, they just want to do what they want to do. But the one who knows they're sent, they want to do the will of Him who sent them. It's John 6:38. Jesus says, "I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me." When we know we're sent, I'm telling you, we know there's something more important than our own personal agenda, our own selfish ambitions, that we're here for something bigger than that, something with a higher purpose. We've been sent to do the King's bidding. The King of Kings sent us. You know, that's lost a little bit on our generation because, you know, in the world today, kings maybe don't mean a whole lot. But there was a time when if a king sent you, then you carried the power, the authority of that king with you. If a king sent you, then you were very important. You had some meaning, some task that had to be carried out. We need to understand that King Jesus has sent us. Oh, how important it is that we do what He's called us to do. And here's a verse you need to always take with you when you know you're sent. John 8:29. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. Jesus knew that his Father was always with him. He that sent me is with me. And did you know the one that sent you is always with you too, isn't he? In fact, in the Great Commission in Matthew, when he told them he was sending them, he says, go into all the world, or he says, go therefore and make disciples. Then he says, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. See, now this is different, because when man sends you to do something, they don't go with you. In fact, we would think that was dumb. If I'm sending somebody to do something, why would I go with them? I just do it myself. But he goes with us to empower us, to enable us, to strengthen us, to give us what we need, to equip us so that we get the job done, to give us the words to say. But when you know you're sent, you know that he's with you too. When we're sent, you need to know this. When you know you're sent, it's not you that they reject or receive. It's him. You see, a lot of times people get discouraged in sharing their faith, reaching out to other people, because there's going to be rejection. There's going to be people who don't like you because of what you're saying and because of who you represent. But you need to remember this. Well, let me just read it to you. John 13:20. I told you there's going to be a lot of scripture. Now, you said you could handle it, all 10 of you, right? So stay with me. He says in John 13:20, I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me. And he who receives me receives him who sent me. You see, when they receive you, it's not you. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. And when they reject you, guess what? It's not about you. It's about Jesus. The one who is sent needs to know that they're not of this world. Listen to what Jesus prayed for us in John 17:16-19. He says, they are not of this world, just as I am not of this world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they may also be sanctified by your truth. I want to tell you something. As we go out into this world, we're not supposed to fit in. Christians need to quit trying to fit in. I'm not talking about being weird, kooky, and religious. I'm talking about that we are supposed to be different from the world. We have something they don't have. We're supposed to be a light in a dark place, and you can't shine if you fit in. Jesus said, if the salt has lost its saltiness, it's good for nothing but to be trodden under the foot of men. We're supposed to be different. Don't try to fit in. Jesus prayed for us that we would be sanctified by his truth. And I'm telling you that when you're sent by him, you need to know that you're supposed to be different. You're supposed to live a holy life. You can't live a life of compromise and represent the King of Kings. No, we've been sent to be a light in a dark place. And when you know you're sent, you don't have time for foolishness. As followers of Jesus, as his ambassadors, you know, we ought to always follow his example. John 12:45, Jesus said, and he who sees me sees him who sent me. Now that ought to be our goal, is that people would see Jesus. That we would so follow his example that people would see Jesus. Now I got to tell you, I feel so inadequate when I say that. And I feel, in fact, I feel altogether inadequate to say he sent me. I'm going to say, who am I? Who am I? Well, that argument didn't work for Moses, and it won't work for us. That is the very words of Moses when God called him and sent him back as a deliverer. In Exodus 3:11, the very words of Moses, he said, who am I that I should go? Who am I? I'm telling you, God is not looking for the perfect. There won't be anybody that goes. He's just looking for somebody who will represent him. Moses was sent to be the deliverer for Israel. He was sent to Pharaoh. You might not be the deliverer of a nation. You might not be sent to speak to some president. But I'm telling you that God will send you to somebody. He'll send you to somebody in your workplace or your school or where you do business. He'll send you somebody maybe next door or maybe in your own home, but he'll send you. He'll send you to speak to somebody. There's somebody that he wants to use you to reach. And you can say, but who am I that I should go? Let me tell you, it's not about you. When we're really sent, it's not about us. It's not about who you are. And I know we could talk about who the Bible says we are, and that's wonderful and everything, but I'm just telling you, when you know you're sent, it's not about you. It's about the one who sent you. Verse 14, God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent you. Here's what you need to know is that the I am has sent you. It's not, who am I? You see, anytime we start thinking we can do it, we're missing it altogether. Because only the Lord working through us can change a life. It's who he is, and we're just representing him. He sent us, but he's with us. Don't say, who am I? Say, here I am. Send me. Jesus said, the laborers are few. Send me. I want to remind you that John 3:17, we read it earlier, He wasn't sent to condemn, and it's not the church's place to judge the world. I'm not going to teach on this tonight, but I'm just going to tell you it's the Scripture. It's the Word of God. Paul actually says in the book of Corinthians, we are not to judge those outside the church. And yet, I see it and hear it all the time, church people judging the world. The Bible says not to. It is not our place to judge the world. Y'all real quiet because I know y'all don't believe me. It's the Word of God. He says you're not to judge those outside. And this is what the world thinks of us, is that we judge them. You know why they think that? Because it's been going on way too long. Way too much of the time. It's not our place to judge the world. Not our place to condemn the world. It's our place to love the world. It's our place to share the good news with them. It's our place to heal the brokenhearted. It's our place to preach deliverance to the captives. It's our place to bring freedom to those that are oppressed. So the Father sent Jesus, Jesus sends us. I'm telling you, that's our place. Why? Because he loves them. Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan to show us what it is to love your neighbor as yourself. A man is beaten, left for dead. The priest and the Levite pass by. They don't want to get involved. A Samaritan comes along. See, the ones that religion would say would be the ones to help, they didn't. And the one that was least likely to help, he did. The Samaritan comes along and he helps the man. Bandages his wounds, takes him to an inn so that he can have a place until he recovers, and he pays for everything. He showed compassion on this man. And Jesus, again, I want to say it, he's telling this story to illustrate to us what it is to love our neighbor as ourself. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to represent him. And he came to show us the love of God. I'm telling you, God wants us to let people know that he loves them. He wants us to love people. He wants us to have compassion on people. Our God is full of compassion. And so if you represent him, if he sent you, he wants you to have compassion. Oh, there's so many people in this world that are so beat up. They're beat up, beaten down, hurting people all around us. Oh, how they need somebody that's willing to love them, to show them that you care. Oh, how they need somebody that can encourage them, lift them up, give them hope. He sent you. He sent you. That gives you a sense of purpose, a readiness to be used. That you say, I've been sent to this sick person. I've been sent to pray for this person with an addiction. I've been sent to speak a kind word to the one that's down. I've been sent. The Father has sent me. Jesus has sent me. If you get that down in your spirit, where you know that every day, you're not just living another day, but you've been sent. I'm telling you, it'll change your life. It'll change not just your life, but other lives. God will use you. It's the word of the Lord. As the Father sent me, so I am sending you. Stand with me. We're going to pray. Father, I just thank you that you love us so much that you sent Jesus. And Lord, that you're so good to us, that you involve us and use us in what you're doing in this earth. How wonderful. What an awesome thing that in eternity, Lord, we will have made a difference and have a reward. I pray, Father, that in the heart of each person here tonight, Lord, that there would be a desire and a faith in your word and what you said, that you're sending us. You're sending us. And Lord, of those moments when we feel weak and inadequate, that we'll remember it's not who I am, it's who you are. Help us, Lord, to always remember that you can use us, even me. And Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus that you just remind us, Lord, when we see the hurting, Lord, when you bring someone across our path, I pray the Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance, he sent me, he sent me, he sent me. I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name, amen, amen.